Advisory Committee for Particle Physics. As usual, let's go around the table and present ourselves. So please start with Peter.
Peter Zavada, I am from Institute of Physics of Czech Academy.
Peter Christoph, sir.
Antonio Editato, University of Bern.
Hans Gutbrot, GSI Darmstadt.
Last Lenkovsky, Bogolyubov Institute, Kiev.
Stanislav Dubnička, Institute of Physics, Slovakia.
Alexander Chiplakov, GNR, PAC Secretary.
Yitzhak Tsuruya, Weizmann Institute.
Richard Lednitsky, John Institute.
Yitkis, Joint Institute.
Vladimir Kikeridze, Joint Institute.
Alexander Sorin, Joint Institute.
Renko Vladimir, Joint Institute.
Okay, thank you very much. So I think we will start with our agenda. I hope you have the last version because it was updated several times over the last couple of weeks. So I will start with my short presentation. So this is the usual short presentation. I will remind you what were the main things that we decided at our last meeting back in June. Report very briefly about the last meeting of the Scientific Council, what has happened in between, and then discuss the agenda for today. So. So concerning the highlights from the from our last meeting on NICA, you know, NICA is a very dynamic thing. A lot of things are happening every time we meet. Last time we were mentioning the operation of the heavy ion source and the improvement of the beam quality and the desire to still keep working on improving the emittance of the extracted beam. The big item for 2018 was the installation of the booster. According to the original schedule, it was supposed to be completed by the end of last year and commissioned at the beginning of 2019. We will probably hear today that there is some delay with respect to this plan, and the assembly of the booster is ongoing but is not yet completed as far as I know. The RAN 55 was very successful. It was a combination of several species of acceleration beams, a carbon beam that was used. Oh, okay. Thank you. A carbon beam that was used for the first measurement of the short-range correlations, and then there were also an argon and the krypton beam that were used for commission of the BMN equipment. Those were very successful runs. Lots of data were collected during that run, and we are looking forward to the presentations today, where we hope to see some results from the analysis. On the infrastructure, you know, there are three big construction projects associated with NICA. Of course, the most important one is the collider itself, and you can see a picture here where you can see the collider really taking shape. The NICA center is still in the design or building phase. There was also another important item that we discussed last time concerning both BM-ATEN and MPD. That was the organization of the first collaboration meeting that took place back in April. This was a significant milestone as far as the two experiments are concerned. There was a very good attendance, more than 200 participants, and a few groups, new groups, joined the collaborations. The bylaws for both collaborations were adopted, and the clear roadmap was established for a formation of the managing structures of the collaboration, and I will tell you more about it in a minute. Finally, the PAC supported the management's effort to secure funding for NICA collaborators, and there also are some news that I will report in a minute. Now, the MPD itself, the main progress is on the completion of the TDRs. In particular, the thing that is lacking, and we hope to hear today some good recent updates, is concerning the TDR for the electron calorimeter. The design is not yet fully completed with the adopted geometry, and we would like to see a detailed scenario for the construction and commissioning of the ICAL that, as you know, is a day one detector, and it's still needs to go very fast in order to meet the deadline of the whole project. The solenoid, you can see here some few pictures of the big magnet that has been constructed. Parts of it are supposed to be already here. The rest will come in 2019, and the solenoid assembly is foreseen for the summer of 2019. BM-ATEN continues to improve its setup, and it was very nice to see the operation, the implementation of large area gem detectors, as well as the first stations of silicon detectors. As I mentioned earlier, the detector performed pretty well during the run 55 of the cyclotron, and the first measurement of the short-range correlations were done. A lot of data were taken, and we hope to see, as I mentioned, some results today. What is still on the agenda for BM-ATEN is, of course, concentrate on the analysis of the data, the completion of the detector configuration, and the design and installation of a vacuum pipe through the whole experimental setup. Now, we also heard a short report from Nikolai Rusakochev and Roman Etsenov about the strategic long-range plans of the Institute. I think that this is a very important process. The PAC appreciates the efforts of the GINAS Directorate towards establishing priorities and shaping up the future of GINAR. We will hear today a short update by Nikolai on further progress in this direction. Now, the Scientific Council discussed at length all our recommendations, and they basically adopted all what we recommended, and you can read all of this here, but this is basically a verbatim copy of our recommendations. You can see mentioned here the cryon salts, the beam structure, the civil construction effort, the congratulation of the management for the first collaboration meeting, with all what I said previously, and the efforts of the management to secure funding for NICA collaborators. So all this was very nicely endorsed by the Scientific Council. Last time we reviewed a lot of projects that were seeking continuation. That was, so this is MPD and BMA10. Again, they realized that the ECAL TDR is one of the bottlenecks and should get full priority. For BMA10, the large area detector, the silicon station, okay, all what I said in a minute ago was endorsed and repeated by the Scientific Council. Concerning the new project that we are seeking continuation, you can see the list that we discussed last time, HyperNIS, ALPOM, DSSS, NA62, STAR, NA61, HADES, the precision later metrology, Ariel. All our recommendations were endorsed and approved by the Scientific Council. A new thing that the Scientific Council did last time, they repeated their recommendation that all the ongoing and planned neutrino experiments should be presented and discussed within a joint meeting of the PAC for particle physics and for nuclear physics, leading to a better coordination of the neutrino physics program and therefore allowing implementation of priorities in a more concerted and efficient manner. So following this repeated recommendation, the two PACs decided to have a joint session that will take place tomorrow. So tomorrow we will be sitting together with the PAC from nuclear physics, and we will reassess the whole neutrino program. The agenda and the modalities of the evaluations of the presented project was prepared by the chairman of the two PACs in close collaboration with the GINR directorate. So again, we will discuss all this tomorrow. Now, some new things and very positive things have happened there recently. First of all, the Russian Foundation for Basic Research has launched a program to support Russian groups working in NICA. This is a very nice program. It was launched on September 3rd, and the grants will be of the order of 3 to 6 megarubles per year for a duration of 3 years, and they will be granted in January of 2019. I hear that there is a little bit of a delay. The grants are still under evaluation, and the awards will be announced probably within a month or so. But this is a very positive development. I think that this is essential to get attraction of Russian groups that are interested in the science of NICA. And I wish that this program could be extended in order to do a similar thing for other groups which are member states or even non-member states. This thing is under discussion at the GINR management, but I'm not sure where this is going to. The other big development in the meantime was that there was a second collaboration meeting of both the MPD and the BMA10 that took place a couple of months ago, end of October, here at GINR. And in this collaboration meeting, basically the management structures of both collaborations were established. The spokespersons were elected. For MPD, Adam Kisiel. For BMA10, Mikhail Kapishin. The IB chairs were elected. For MPD, Fuchian Wong. And for BMA10, Hans-Rudolf Schmidt. The project managers were appointed following recommendation from the lab director, Slava Golovatyuk for the MPD, Anna Maksimchuk for BMA10. The deputy spokespersons were appointed slightly after the collaboration meeting. For MPD, there are two, Viktor Ryabov and Zebo Tang. For BMA10, this is Peter Zenger. The executive council of the BMA10 was just formed and was, following an election procedure, established just last week. The executive council for MPD is under formation. So now what it remains to be done is the detector council, the physics working groups, and the software analysis groups. They are being formed. And with all this thing, I believe that MPD and BMADEN should start now to operate as a regular international collaborations. So this is what I have to tell you, and brings me to the agenda of today and tomorrow that you can see here. The highlights of the meeting is, first of all, the update reports that we will hear on NICA, MPD and BMATEN. There are a couple of projects that are seeking continuation. The real thing that will make us very busy tomorrow will be the joint session of the PAC for particle physics and the PAC for nuclear physics for the joint evaluation of all the GINR projects on neutrino physics and dark matter. So thank you for your attention. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them. Okay, so then Richard will tell us about the highlights from the last Scientific Council meeting.
Good morning, dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues, friends. I will briefly report about the last meetings of Scientific Council and Committee of Plenipotentiaries. So the 124th session of GINR Scientific Council took place in September last year. It was chaired by the director of the Institute, Victor Matveev, and co-chaired by Professor Catalin Borcea from Romania. The agenda consisted from directors, as usual, from directors' report, progress of implementation of the 7-year plan of the development of GINR Institute in its major sections, particle physics and information technology, NICA project, nuclear physics, condensed matter physics and radiation biology, development of the engineering infrastructure and education. Then there was a recommendation of the program advisory committees, reports by young scientists as recommended by the program advisory committees, awards and prizes and elections and announcement of vacancies of positions in the directorates of joint institute laboratories. In general consideration, the Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by the director Matveev, covering the priorities of joint institute development within the current 7-year period, the main goals of the research program, the decisions of the recent session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries, and events in international cooperation. The Council recognized the efforts being taken by joint institute directorate toward achieving the priority goals of scientific research in the fields of particle physics, nuclear physics, condensed matter physics, and radiation biology. The Council emphasized the importance of consolidating the scope of in-house experiments and of experiments within the framework of international partnership programs, with essential contribution being made by joint institute staff. The Scientific Council approved the adopted order of priorities in the development of our facilities to provide the Institute with the necessary basis for maintaining its unique position among the leading physics research centers and for further integrating the joint institute into the European and global research programs. The Council appreciated that the NICA complex and super heavy element factory had been included in the S3 roadmap and in the NUPEC long-range plan, and that IBR2 had become a part of the European neutron roadmap. Other institute flagship programs, the neutrino research projects at the Kalin nuclear power plant and at Lake Baikal, should also be integrated into the global research infrastructure. Every effort should be made to insert the joint institute as an element of the European strategy of particle physics in partnership with CERN. It does not move. The Scientific Council welcomed the Directorate's work to develop the Institute's engineering infrastructure as well as the measures being taken to support the educational activity and to implement the human resources and social policy, considering these activities to be vitally important for achieving the strategic goals of the Institute. The Council welcomed the joint Institute's increasing international cooperation, in particular strengthening ties with European partners, establishing new partnerships with China and expanding cooperation horizons in Latin America and Africa. The Council also noted with satisfaction the training program, Gender Expertise for Member States and Partner Countries, and the cooperation with research and educational organizations of Israel. The Council expects that active participation of Joint Institute and its partners in events to be held within the International Year of Periodic Table of Chemical Elements in 2019. Concerning implementation of the 7-year plan, the Council noted with high appreciation the reports concerning progress in implementing this plan for development of the Institute in its major sections presented by the Vice Directors on Particle Physics and Information Technology, NICA Project, Nuclear Physics and Condensed Matter Physics and Radiation Biology, by Chief Engineer Boris Gikal, by Development of Engineering Infrastructure and by University Center Director Stanislav Pakulak about Education. On the whole, the Scientific Council highly appreciated the ongoing efforts to implement the 7-year plan. However, considering the increasing number of new scientific teams and projects reported, the Council stressed that Joint Institute needs to consolidate its research program within the major objectives of the development plan. The Scientific Council took note of the recommendations made by program advisory committees at their meetings in June 2018, as reported at this session by Itzhak Tseruya, chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics, Marek Levitovich, chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics, and Deja Nagy, chairman of the Committee for Condensed Matter Physics. The Council requested the Joint Institute Directorate to consider these recommendations while preparing the topical plan of research and international cooperation for the year 2019. The recommendations of the program committees are documented in detail in the minutes, and Itzhak Tseruya already mentioned the main points in regard of Particle Physics Committee. The Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists which were recommended by the committee for presentation at this session. How robust is a third family of compact stars against pasta phase effects, fusion fission and quasi fission in the near barrier reaction of sulfur plus gold, analysis of the working ability of a planar graphene tunnel field effect transistor in the presence of edge vacancies. It thanked the respective speakers, Iran from Laboratory of Information Technology, Harcha from Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, and Glebov from Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. The Council welcomes such selected reports in the future. The Council congratulated professors Fogli from Italy and Lisi also from Italy on the reward on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for their pioneering contribution to the development of global analysis of neutrino oscillation data from different experiments and thank them for their excellent presentations. The Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of Gelepov Prize for Professor Komarov from Joint Institute for his pioneering work on the construction of the first channel for proton therapy at the Institute Synchrocyclotron. The Council congratulated the winners of the Institute NL Prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Concerning election of the co-chairman of the Scientific Council, the Council elected Professor Catalin Borcia from Romania as co-chairman of the Scientific Council for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council agreed with the proposal made by the Director Matveev to postpone the election of the Director of the Fleurov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, previously announced for September 2018, by 1.5 years until the 127th session of the Scientific Council in February 2020. According to the regulation, a new election date will be announced at the next session of the Council in February 2019. The Council elected Vadim Biedniakov as director of the Gelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems for a second term of 5 years. The Council announced the vacancies of position of the Gelepov Laboratory Deputy Directors. The endorsement of appointments will take place at the next session of the Council in February 2019. The Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Otilia Kulikov, Norbert Kucherka and Yegor Lichagin as deputy directors of the Frank Laboratory of Nuclear of Neutron Physics until the completion of the term of office of the director Valery Shvetsov. The Council endorsed the appointment of Jan Busha and Tatiana Strish as deputy directors of the Laboratory of Information Technology until the completion of the term of office of the director Vladimir Korenkov. The Council announced the vacancy of a third deputy director position at this laboratory. The endorsement of appointment will take place at the next session of the Council in February 2019. The Council announced the vacancies of positions of the directors of Wechsler and Baldin Laboratory of High Energy Physics and on the, of the Laboratory of Radiation Biology. The elections will take place at the 126th session of the Scientific Council in September this year. A regular session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the Governments of Joint Institute Member States was held in Bucharest, Romania, in November 2018. It was chaired by the representative of the Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov. The agenda consisted of Director's Joint Institute report, draft budget of Joint Institute for the year 2019, draft contributions of the member states for the next 3 years, draft budget of the use in 2019 of the special purpose fund of the Russian Federation provided for NICA project, results of the meeting of Joint Institute Finance Committee, results of the audit of Joint Institute final financial activities for the year 2016, changes in the membership of Joint Institute Scientific Council, status of the agreements with associated states, preparation of agreements with France and other states, and main trends, challenges and future development of information technologies. In director's report, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the information presented by the Directorate on the progress of implementation of the research program in 2018 and on the priorities of institute activities for 2019. It also approved the recommendations of the 123rd and 24th sessions of the Scientific Council and the Joint Institute Topical Plan of Research and Implementation and International Cooperation for 2019. The committee highly appreciated the efforts of the Directorate to develop the flagship research programs, in particular noted the progress towards construction of the NICA Collider Complex, as well as the official opening of the MPD and Baryonic Matter at Nucleotron International Collaborations, and the holding of 2 collaboration meetings of the MPD and BMN experiments. Commended the efforts being taken towards the timely completion of the construction, licensing and commissioning of the factory of superheavy elements, as well as the plans of first test experiments. It welcomed the steps being taken towards a better coordination of the neutrino physics program and towards implementation of priorities in this area. in a more concerted and efficient manner. It also noted with satisfaction the progress of the research program in the field of condensed matter physics, which includes, among other things, the development of the concept of a new source of neutrons at the Institute, replacing the IBER2 reactor after completion of its exploitation, as well as the signing of the letter of intent concerning the establishment of a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris Synchrotron of the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. It welcomed the launching in 2018 of the supercomputer Govorun, which has taken a prominent place in the international ratings of computing systems. The committee further highlighted the progress achieved by Joint Institute in integrating its basic facilities into the global research infrastructure programs, in particular the inclusion of the NICA complex, the Super Heavy Elements Factory and IBR2 reactor in the S3 strategy report on research infrastructure presented on 11 September 2018 in Vienna. It commissioned the directorate to present at the Committee Plenipotentiary session in March 2019 an analysis of implementation of the schedules of the NIGA mega project, Super Heavy Elements Factory and of the Baikal project. It noted with satisfaction the directorate's attention to the analysis of implementing the 7-year plan for the development of the Institute for 2017-2023. The committee stressed the importance of consolidating the research program within the major objectives of the 7-year plan and concentrating efforts on the in-house experiments. It further supported the proposal of the directorate to establish a science and engineering council for innovations with the participation of representatives of member states and to submit proposals of the concept of the Institute Innovation Policy to the Committee of Plenipotentiary next session in March 2019. It commissioned the directorate to prepare a plan of activities dedicated to the 2019 International Year of Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, especially in Joint Institute member states and in states participating in Joint Institute under agreements on science and technology cooperation. It supported the directory efforts aimed at popularizing the achievements of the Institute and at implementing its educational program. It drew special attention of the directory to the need to further enhance the awareness of the scientific community of the member states about the flagship programs of a joint institute and about the opportunities to participate in collaborations around its major projects. Concerning the report draft budget of Joint Institute for year 2019, draft contribution of the member states for next 3 years, presented by Mikhail Vasiliev, deputy head of the General Finance and Economy Office, the committee approved the general budget for the year 2019 with the total income and expenditure amounting to about 232 million of US dollars, and the scales of contributions of the member states for this year. It approved the contributions of the member states for 2019 and the payment of contribution arrears of the member states for this year. The committee determined the provisional volumes of general budget in income and expenditure for the year 2020, 2021, and 2022, as well as the provisional amounts of member states' contributions for these years. It allowed the directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by the Institute budget in 2019, in accordance with the General Collective Bargaining Agreement for 2017-2020. Concerning the report, draft budget for the use 2019 of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation provided in accordance with the agreement between the government of the Russian Federation and the Institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex of superconducting rings for heavy inclining beams, presented by Vice Director Skekalidze and me. The committee approved the budget for the use in 2019 of the special purpose funds in the amount of 2.31 billion rubles. It took note of the information of the General Directorate and of the NICA mega project management about the measures aimed at ensuring the effective use of the budget funds of Joint Institute and of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation located for NICA, as well as at reducing the delay emerging over the past year in the planned construction of the NICA complex facilities. Concerning the report, the results of the meeting of the Finance Committee held in November 2018, presented by Svetlomira Harizanova, chairperson of the Finance Committee, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the protocols of this meeting, approved the regulation of the introduction of adjustments to the general budget. The committee commissioned the directorate to finalize the draft procedure for the offset of cost of supplies of equipment, instruments, materials, services and individual work on the Institute's orders against payments of Joint Institute member states' contributions. To prepare a new version of the draft regulation on research and educational programs for Joint Institute cooperation with scientific organizations and universities, member states and enact this regulation from 1st January 2020 to prepare drafts of the updated documents regulating purchasing activities. Concerning the report, the results of the audit of the financial activities of Joint Institute performed for the year 2017 and analysis of implementation by the Directorate of the Plan of Activities resulting from the audit of the financial activities performed for year 2016, presented by Dmitry Korsakov, director of the audit company Korsakov and Partners, the committee took note of the auditor's report concerning financial activities examined for 2017, approved the accounting report of the Joint Institute for the year 2017. Concerning membership of the Scientific Council, it agreed with the report by Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary, on the inclusion of the membership of Joint Institute Scientific Council by Boris Grinyov from Ukraine, and Professor Lavrerashvili from Georgia, to replace Professor Eliashvili. Concerning international cooperation, the report status of the agreements with associated states, preparation of agreements with France and other states, presented by Dmitry Kamanin, deputy head of the General Science Organization and International Cooperation Office, the committee commended the efforts of the Directorate to elevate the status of Egypt, Serbia and South Africa to full member states of the Institute, as well as the current work to prepare a cooperation agreement with the government of France. The committee took note of the delay in extending the cooperation agreement with Germany, of the success of the Directorate in developing cooperation with Italy, of the ongoing works towards restoring the status of Hungary in Joint Institute, and of the ongoing efforts towards attracting India, Brazil and other states to Joint Institute. The committee thanked Vladimir Korenkov, Director of the Laboratory Information Technology, for his informative presentation of the main trends, challenges and future development of information technology. The committee supported the proposal of the plenipotentiary of the Government of Republic of Poland, Michal Waligorski, to name one of the allies on the side of the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems in honor of academician Andrei Hrinkiewicz. The committee expressed gratitude to the organizers and to the plenipotentiary of the Government of Romania for the high quality preparation and conduct of this Committee of Plenipotentiary session in Bucharest. Thank you for the attention.
Richard, are there any questions? Yes, sir.
One short question. Financial issues are always a miracle. I see that the budget of CINER is going up by 2% every year, but that the salaries are allowed to be adjusted by the indexing. Now, the indexing, I think, is much more than 2%, so I would conclude that the CINER Directorate is asked to reduce the staff.
So, in fact, it is we are now in the situation where the part devoted to the salaries is more than 40%. I do not remember exactly, maybe
39.5 today.
So, and the usual situation that it is about half of the budget. So we have still room for increase in the salary without decreasing the number of the staff.
Right, but at the cost of reducing operation. I mean, in America, they also have to cut then somewhere.
So budget is in rubles, or budget is in dollars, and salary in rubles. It's a big difference.
Okay. No further questions, so let's move to the next presentation by Sergei Kostrovin about the realization of the Nucleotron NICA project.
Good morning, dear colleagues. Here is a scheme of the accelerator facility, NICA project, to take a look and to make overview how the project is going on and where we are in the realization of the project. Past 3 years, the main activity of the lab accelerator division was devoted to construction and mounting of the new injection chains for existing GINR nucleotron and for future collider. For today, the activity moved to mounting and assembling of the booster and for creation of the transfer channels for the beam and for testing of the equipment for NICA collider itself. This is to bring you the overall view about the status of the project. Together with improved ion source Creon, overall commissioning of LINAC for heavy ions was done in 2016, and this was an essential part of one of new injection change for heavy ions for GINR nucleotron and for future collider. So the last week photo that right now activity moved to mounting and assembling of the transfer channel from Hilux to booster, and also you see that the preparation works for transfer channel from booster to nucleotron is already started. This channel was subcontracted to Butker Institute for Nuclear Physics, and the commissioning is expected at the end of this year. Another injection chain for light ions was also improved, new for injector for LU-20 with buncher, and together with the source of polarized ions, was used and three runs in 2060 from 2060 was performed with polarized neutrons and protons. As I said, now that the main of the activity is concentrated, mostly concentrated on the mounting of the booster synchrotron in the lab. Here you see the overall time schedule for the mounting, commissioning, and finally for the commissioning with the beam. So you see that technological run is scheduled for May or June this year, and at the end of the year, October, November, we plan to commission the accelerator with the beam. Together with, I would say that right now, most of all structural magnetic elements was successfully tested. Most of all, I mean more than 90%. And now structural elements are moved to accelerator ring, and together with other work for other systems, the overall work for mounting is going on. Here is a part of results obtained during testing of structural elements for Nika booster. There was carefully work done to check if the elements, if every element meet the specification. Now, 20 dipoles units already delivered to the tunnel. You see some views from the inside from the Jenner synchrophosatron yoke. The dipoles, 20 dipoles on their positions, and the work for preparation work for further mounting is going on. Also, as chairman announced, there was successful run, nucleotron run at the beginning of this year. You see a spill of the carbon beam, and the beam of good quality was delivered to BMN experiment. And as a formulation for future task of nucleotron is, of course, the acceleration of heavy ions up to project energy, as well as development of the injection system for these ions from booster, and slow extraction for heavy ions on specified energy for applied research. Important system is injection system from nucleotron to deliver the beam from constructed booster and then to accelerate and transfer it to collider. The injection system main elements Lambertson magnet at the kicker. These elements based design based on existing design of nucleotron Lambertson magnets. More that spare parts will be used, yokes from existing Lambertson will be used for future injection system. As well, design of cold kickers for fast extraction system in progress, and prototypes are done for testing. You know that transport line from nucleotron to Nika collider, it is a big part of wall accelerator facility, about 90 magnets, 90 elements. This work is subcontracted to Sigma Phi company. We expect by the end of this year delivery of the magnet elements, and starting from 2020 we plan to carry on mounting and testing and the commissioning of this big part of NICA facility. Now going to collider itself, you know that the NICA collider is based on nucleotron technology, and using this technology brings the most important parameters for the collider. You know that ring circumference is about 500 meters. Collider has two interaction points at and beam in circulating rings will be separated by vertical manner by 320 millimeters. So this decision brings most important parameters of the NICA collider. The commissioning of this element of NICA facility subdivided by two parts. Collider has two stages of operation, the base one and the project one, which are differed by consistence of RF system and stochastic cooling system. And finally, with the basic configuration, base configuration, we should plan to achieve the luminosity 5 to 10 to 25 centimeters per second. This is the time schedule for the construction and mounting and the commissioning of the main systems of NICA collider. You see here that main business concentrated by assembling, testing, and mounting of cryomagnetic system of the machine. So we have here about 180 cryogenic tests, as well as production and mounting of other system. The RF system subcontracted to Butker Institute, as well as electron cooling. For vacuum system and stochastic cooling system, the works is going on. This year, we plan to have delivery from subcontractor parts of vacuum system for NICA collider. And here you see nucleotron collider transfer channel, which is, as I said, subcontracted to Sigma Phi. The design of most of all magnetic elements is mostly finished. As I said, 180 elements has to be, structural magnets has to be assembled and tested at the special facility which was developed in the lab. In comparison to NICA booster, it is three times more in whole amount of work. You see here the numbers for the structural elements which has to be assembled and tested for collider. And as well, you know that we have obligations to deliver to FAIR Darmstadt essential 166 modules of quadrupole magnets for CIS-100. I would say that at the testing facility right now, the team, working team, is about 85 people, which was increased during last 3 years, and now all these people works for testing and assembling of superconducting magnets. For the collider, up to now, 26 yokes we already got from our subcontractor from Belarus, and 5 magnetic elements already tested, 5 dipoles successfully passed cryogenic test. We got the results, and we confirm, previously confirmed, that the parameters of the magnets are as the expected, as the calculated, and we continue this work right now for testing of the yokes we have in the testing facility right now in the lab. As I said, RF system is subcontracted to Butker Institute, and here there is a RF1 station, buried bucket station, performing for the first test at the Butker Institute. As well, electron cooling system will be supplied by WINP, and we expect installation this big part of NICA facility in 2021. As well, injection system in the development process, design is under development, and also together with power supply, which the system will be specially equipped. As well, beam dump design system is under development. It was done on the base of Lambertson magnet, so now our team is working to perform and to finish this system and to start work on construction of elements, of its testing, and so on. At the very end of 2018, there was a joint meeting here at our lab together with a representative of Butker Institute. There was a team from Butker Institute as well as from ITEP Moscow to discuss, to solve, and to continue work on beam physics in NICA collider. You know that collider, from accelerator point of view, quite complicated machine, and we continue the work together with other institute to finish the investigation of beam dynamics, and that's it. This is all that I have for today. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Hans.
I have missed the status of the gold beam. Where are you there with the specs with respect to NICA? Do you have an iron source running with gold beams, and extracted to which point in the Linux system?
I said that we already got a commission of new heavy iron Linux Hilux in 2016 together with electron string iron source Creon 6T, which was tested and upgraded, and this is the start of injection change for heavy ions for NICA collider.
Yes, but I haven't heard about gold beams. I mean, going from carbon to gold is a big step, and your system is really challenged. So did you have gold beams somewhere?
Right now, the ion source team work to get gold beam. I know that they already got it on the test, but it's difficult to say numbers right now about the intensity. They're working on this right now.
I have a question for you. You mentioned that the commissioning of the booster will take place at the end of 2019, in October, November of 2019. The previous timetable that we saw had the commissioning of the booster at the beginning of 2019. This implies more than half a year delay in the plan that was presented to us not later less than a year ago. So how you accumulate such a delay in such a short time? And how confident are you that this thing is a solid schedule?
Of course, to move close to the commissioning, more things are more clear. I mean, there are some factors, for example, the delivery schedule from our subcontractor, which we always include in our every time schedule. And to be honest, we have a delay from some subcontractors for the spare parts from for the Nika booster, and we cannot start, let's say, all processes as we planned before. Going on with project development, we are confident with these delays, and the delivery dates are renewed by subcontractors, and we have more information about this. That's why answering you that this schedule is, let's say, maybe not so solid, but we are confident that we are working frame of this schedule.
So are you just a second, so are you saying that now the schedule is in your hands, so you are not depending anymore from outsider people that provide services from outside that may induce delay?
To be honest, not completely in our hands. We continue. There are some external factors which can influence for this schedule, but most, maybe 80-90%, it is in our hands, as you said.
Okay. Vladimir?
So the previous schedule, which was presented a year ago, was very old. We did for the first time the update of the schedule in the beginning, just after the previous PAC meeting. In the council, it was already presented the real schedule, which is presented just now. According such a schedule, the final commissioning by the end of the present year. So the previous 1 year ago, it was not updated for many years, because only when we have in our hands already all the schedule of subcontractors, we did the real update just almost slightly less than 1 year ago. And since that time, it's not big changes. We are following the schedule.
But Vladimir, this means you have not a proper project management. Proper project management should see immediately a yellow light or a red light when something is delaying, causing a delay to the others. So there should be a project management set up, because we have still years in front of us. And I would say the same thing goes for project management of the experiments.
I would say it wasn't the most urgent issue, the booster schedule, in our hands. We concentrated on the more problematic items of our schedule, which much more creates much more big delay, mainly the construction. And up to now, we are concentrated mainly on the construction, which introduces a delay. Civil construction, I mean. So, and we are working very hard on that, and we have very regular meeting at all levels.
Hans, I also have comment for you about the project management. I think we have proper management for the project. You know that for the big scientific project, a lot of management work has to be done to plan everything, but I would say not always, but most of time, this is a question of the, let's say, a safety margin which your management put in the risk problems. So you know that in practically every project, some delays are occurred due to defects which was, let's say, not properly foreseen at the beginning. But you're right that there is a big management work in every scientific project have to be done.
Okay, Antonio.
Well, of course there are reasons, and we understand. But in the first issue is certainly if this then is on the critical path, this delay produces additional delays in other fields, because you can have slipping of the schedule, but then other items go on the critical path. So, but I would like to come again on what Hans has said. I think for the future we should make sure that even if there is an old schedule foreseeing some optimistic achievement, then we have to be immediately catching up and see if there are slipping here and there. Because I repeat, the issue is that then other items can fall in the critical path.
We should move on now and go to the next presentation by Nikolai Agapov on the infrastructure developments, including the nucleotron.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. The title of my talk is Report on the Infrastructure Development, including the Nucleotron. Today, I'd like to give you an overview of upgrading of plants for liquid helium and liquid nitrogen production, modernization of electrical systems, renovation of water pipelines and thermal grids, and construction of new buildings. I'll begin with the cryogenic system. As you remember, the NICA cryogenics will be based on liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the nucleotron. For the NICA complex, the total refrigerator capacity will be increased from existing 4 kilowatts to 10 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature. It will be possible to reach by using the new helium liquefier with capacity of about 1,000 liters per hour and three so-called satellite refrigerators with capacity of 2 kilowatts each. These refrigerators operate using liquid helium obtained from the central liquefier, and they are highly reliable because practically don't have moving parts such as turbine, etc. First of these main units, the biggest in Russia helium liquefier, is already in operation. The new cryogenic equipment of the NICA complex is shown here. The green color units are equipment already delivered or ready for transportation from the producer factory. Red color indicates the facilities whose production is planned for this year. So, we have already got the following elements. Two new helium screw compressors with capacity of 6,600 normal cubic meter per hour. Three nitrogen turbo compressors with capacity of more than 10,000 normal cubic meter per hour each. 40 cubic meter liquid helium tank. Satellite refrigerator for the booster synchrotron. Helium liquefier, four draining and oil purification units, the nitrogen liquefier with capacity of 1.3 ton per hour, two nitrogen recondensers with capacity of 0.5 ton per hour. As for the collider, two helium satellite refrigerators must be ready this year. Two more red color elements came into being as a result of recommendation of the LITES Machine Advisory Committee. For the cryogenic system, the committee expressed the opinion that the planned usage of inflatable gas holder does not meet the requirements of reliable operation and helium purity. It was recommended to consider the replacement by welded vessels. Two such 1,000 cubic meter vessels for helium and nitrogen systems will be manufactured during this year. Let me remember one more time about such important components of cryogenic system as screw helium compressors. The new unique machines were designed and manufactured in Kazan by joint stock company New Turbo Compressor expressly for the NICA complex and have been successfully tested at the producer's site with our specialists' participation. Each unit has capacity of more than 6 normal cubic meter per hour and outlet pressure of 3 megapascals. Here you can see the picture of the future new compressor station. This building is of key importance to complete the cryogenic complex for NICA. Now there are two pieces of news about it. One is good, but the other is bad. The good news that all equipment for the building has been already manufactured, delivered to the lab, and waits for installation in their places. And the bet is following. A year ago, we entered into contract with company PSG and construction of the building was started. But last summer, the work was stopped and contract was broken. The selected construction company came into being financially untenable. A new tender is underway now to select another contractor. In this situation, it's very difficult for me to predict completion dates for installation of and startup of compressor equipment. Let's now talk about our institute's electrical systems. The existing supply scheme is shown in this picture. There are two independent 20 kilometers line of 110 kilovolts from Tempe to Dubna. At the general site, we have two main transformer substations. The total power is 52 megawatts, but 28 megawatts are intended for the city power users. And there is only 24 for joint institute. Of course, it will be not enough in future, and the next slide illustrates the development plans. After the incarnation, the total power for joint institute will be increased by 28 megawatts. At substation 1, two old 20 megawatts transformer will be replaced by two units with capacity of 40 megawatts each. At substation 2, three old transformer will be replaced by four new units. This project has already received a positive opinion of expert organization. Completion of reconstruction is expected in 2020. As for substation 1, which is most important for the NICA project, the contract for two 40 megawatts transformer with joint stock company Siemens Transformers has been completed, and this equipment is kept in the storage at the producer factory. Taking into account electrical loads and necessity of the second category of reliability, the total possible load of this transformer station is 40.8 megawatts. This page reminds you the estimated power distribution of the main transformer station 1 after the start-up of the NICA complex. The main user will be booster, collider, new compressor hall, computer cluster, beam channels of building 205, facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of the superconducting magnets, labs, infrastructure, Eastern Thermal Station, Center of Innovative Developments, and Dubna City. For the NICA requirements, all the main internal electrical subsystem of the lab are being upgraded now. In this slide, you can see already reconstructed substation. Substation 13, it is source of electric current of the nucleotron magnets and will be one of the two main centers of electricity for the collider MPD and SPD. Substation 42 provides the power supply for the test facility of superconducting magnets. Substation 11 will be used for electron cooling system of the booster. Four more substations are subject to upgrade in the near future. First of them, substation K, will provide power supply for the beam extraction line from the nucleotron. It's being mounted now. All equipment has already been delivered from the producer factory. Start of its operation is expected in March this year. There is one more very important power substation with number 15. Its task to supply energy to the collider and building 205. The design work is in progress now and will be completed within 1 or 2 months. The biggest one is the substation 21 with capacity of 40 megawatts. This substation will be separated in 2 parts, for the compressors and for power supply of the accelerator complex. Both parts will have independent input lines from the main transformer station 1. Now the design work is completed. At the moment, a tender is in preparation. During the latest years, more than 20 kilometers of new lines have been laid for various goals: thermal grids, domestic water pipelines, and fire water supply, and so on. Of these, 2 kilometers were laid since our previous meeting. Here is lines are shown in red. Now, we can say that updating of all engineering networks inside of the lab will be completed this year. Enclosed in the ring, they will guarantee a reliable operation of all existing labs buildings. Next picture show water supply lines and the next industrial waste water sewage system. The heat load of the new buildings will be about 11 gigacalories. In other words, the total load of our labs will be doubled. After last summer modernization, the Eastern Thermal Station is completely ready to meet these requirements. Nevertheless, there is still some problem with external thermal grids. In this picture, the existing pipelines of heating from the Eastern Thermal Station is marked in red. You can see that territory has only one input up to now. For the new buildings, it is necessary to make the second input and increase the diameter of the main pipelines from point A to point B from 500 to 600 millimeters. This reconstruction are planned for the coming summer. Okay. Next point of my talk is main building which we are going to construct. They are collider building, new compressor hall and NICA innovation center. I have already told about situation with the compressor hall. There is nothing more to say about it. As for the NICA innovation center, the Institute of Unique Construction Arena continues designing. Now the project is very close to be ready. And this picture shows how it will be looking from the outside and inside. The building has been designed for 450 workplaces and has such functional units as offices oriented to the outside and corridors and lobby which exit to the courtyard. There is a conference hall for 750 seats, data center and cafe. Now about the collider building. The total number of construction workers in different months is shown by the diagram on top. The average number is 125. As you can see here, the main activity now is reinforced concrete work and excavation. This situation has been typical for the last few months. Totally, more than 32,000 cubic meters of concrete have been already used, including about 8,000 cubic meters since the committee previous meeting. The specific amount of concrete in each part of the construction is shown in this yellow table. The percentage of concrete work for every element is also specified. During the last half year, 500 tons of metal constructions were installed. This photo was taken yesterday by internet. Everyone can see the progress of construction on this website. That's all I plan to say. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Andre. Okay, Hans.
I'm asking a question to the effect of the rapid cycling booster to the grid. These are peak values when the booster goes up and down, and there you come up with many megawatts more. So how do you do this damping?
Excuse me.
We are thinking about it, and I think that it will be this goal will be how to say.
Excuse me. Let me talk a few words about this question. I'm here. Good bird. Hans, I'm here. The power supply system of the booster is very special. This is a superconducting ring, and we have a very big capacity for the DC converter for the booster supplying. And this power supply don't need a lot of power from the electricity, from the power supply, from the electric station. This is like a seesaw. We don't have a peak of power consumption from the net.
Okay. No, not the cryogenic, the power itself. Yeah.
Okay. If there are no further questions, let's thank the speaker again. We now have a short presentation by Vladimir Kikelice
on report about the second collaboration meeting of the MPD and BMATEN experiments at NICA.
Good morning, colleagues. My task is very short because by chairman it was already presented to you information concerning the second collaboration meeting. It took place in October last year. And as probably you already know, we have formed even before the two collaborations around the BM baryonic matter at nucleotron experiment and around MPD. Baryonic matter at nucleotron contains members, more than 200 participants from 10 countries and 19 institutions. You could see here the list, which is Bulgaria, China, Czech Republic, Germany, Joint Institute, Kazakhstan, Moldova, Poland, Russia, and USA. IB was already established and formed in the previous meeting. You could see the list of BM baryonic matter at nucleotron collaboration IB members. And just last meeting, it was the election procedure. Several candidates to the positions of IB chair was the spokesperson and project. As IB chair, it was elected Hans Rudolf Schmidt from Tübingen University. As a spokesperson, Michael Kapishin from GNR. Later on, the deputy spokesperson was proposed by spokesperson and approved by IB chair, by IB, as well as a project manager, which was proposed by GNR management and endorsed by IB. It's Anna Maksimchuk. Concerning the Executive Council, later on it was established Executive Council, ex officio members and elected members. You could see here the list. It's not yet completed. It will be supplemented by probably a couple of members. Concerning the multipurpose detector, it was more than 460 participants from 32 institutions representing 10 countries. You could see here the Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Chile, China, Georgia, Mexico, Czech Republic, Moldova, Poland, and Russian institutions. You could see the list of IB members of MPD representing the institutions. And election procedure took place during the last meeting among two candidates. Among two candidates were elected, one chair of the IB, Fujiang Wong from China, and the spokesperson was elected Professor Adam Kissel from Warsaw University of Technology, Poland. As a project manager was proposed Vyacheslav Golovatyuk from GNR. It was approved by IB. And later on, two deputy spokesperson were proposed by spokesperson and have been approved by IB. You could see here Viktor Ryabov and Zebotank, first from Russia, second from China. Probably that's all what I have. Concerning the MOU, the last template is close to completion. We already working on the detail, and we expect that soon all the contributions from collaborating institutions will be well defined and will be included in the MOU. MOU will be signed. We hope it will be done within this year. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments for Vladimir? Okay, all clear. Thank you very much. So we have now a coffee break that is served on the other side, and we will reconvene when you hear the bell.